along on the road, and one of them says, "The other, did you have a horse have the colic?" I said, "Yeah, I had one last spring." He said, "What'd you do for him?" He gave him castor oil. And by that time, they were so far away, he could no longer carry on the conversation. A couple of weeks later, they met about the same way, and said, "How's your horse?" "He died. Mine did, too."
I heard...
You probably heard that same...
Right.
And he was bought. Dave Sellers over here, he came into the barn one time. I was feeding the cows, and they were all watching. He says, "It makes you feel like a chairman of the board." Everybody looking at you.
Yeah.
Father-in-law used to tell the story about the old fellow was out driving. Model T Ford and going down the road. And back in those days, they had the motor vehicle cop. He wasn't the state police. They sometimes pinch hit for the game warden too. And he stopped the old fella and he said, "Could I see your driver's license?" So he showed him his driver's license. He was disgruntled. You know, he had a fishbowl in the back. He going fishing, huh? "You got a fishing license?" He pulled out his fishing license, showed it to him. He said, "My God, this woman sitting beside me is my wife. If you want to come down to the house, I'll show you the marriage license." He was operating perfectly legal. My father-in-law, this is up in northern part of Greensboro, I guess it was hard to wake up there.
Is that where your wife came from?
She came from Rutland eventually, but she was born in Greensboro Bend. He was a telegraph operator, station agent for the St. Jane LC Railroad.
And how'd you meet your wife down in Rutland?
Well, she came up here teaching school.
Oh, she came to teaching school.
It's a very common occurrence back in...
That's what I hear.
In fact, I can think of a dozen times when that happened. Otis Wallace's wife.
That's right.
She came from the middle of Tryon, I think her name was.
That's right.
Mrs. Bonnet, Roberta Bonnet, came into Waitsfield teaching school. Mrs. Jocelyn.
Fletcher Jocelyn's wife?
No, she. His brother's wife, Reifert's wife. Can't think of her first name now. She lives in the old high school. In fact, she's living in the same room she taught in when she first came out teaching.
Is that right? Is that now a living?
Oh, yes. That's a condominium as such.
At one point, it had stores or something in there, didn't it? Or gallery?
They were going to, but it eventually sifted out the fact that it is a condominium. It's just kind of a nice arrangement.
That is nice.
It's inexpensive, and it's centrally located. Oh, I can't think of her name. Donnie Johnson's mother came here from Richford or somewhere down here teaching school. Mary Ketchum, she came from over, her folks lived over in Sudbury. Mary Rudolph Elliott.
I talked with DeLong.
No.
What's her name? Alice.
Alice DeLong.
Who taught school here, I guess.
Yeah.
And she married
Yeah, she married Eldon DeLong. He lived up the west part of town. She came from Duxbury. But it was a very common occurrence. Mabel Elliott came in here teaching school. She married Fred Elliott. Rebecca's mother... Rebecca Peetman's. Her mother, Dowdell, came from... I think they called it Dowdell then, came from... Hancock, Rochester, somewhere there. She came up teaching school, and she married Rebecca's father.
A number of people have suggested that I go talk with Marion Wallace, who was, I guess, a Bisbee?
Yeah.
Would she be a good person to talk with, do you think? I know she was away for a while.
Actually, I don't know her, but... I would guess that perhaps she would be of a family that would have had a lot of contact and stories in the valley.
Well, her brother apparently was a great storyteller. Mm-hmm. Was he? Was it Ralph? Or
Ralph Bisbee?
Is that her brother? I think, maybe. I don't know.
I think her brother was Ralph and John.
Mm-hmm.
There's another... Well, I met her down to the Waitsfield Bicentennial. In fact, I was down there, went into their display, and they didn't have on the child's gazetteers. So I had just rebound mine. A lady up in Mrs. Kaufman up in. On the common road, and showed me what information she had on it. I actually went out looking for a piece of leather to bind the back. Mine was all gone. That one there is the one that's down to Warren Village now. But I took it out. I was going to show it to her. How it came out after she had advised me. But she wasn't there, so I stopped in down to the Waitsfield Bicentennial. They had it open for a week, so I left that copy down there. And I got to talk with her a few minutes. She was Johnny Bisbee's daughter. I don't know how far back she would go. She would probably... She's probably 50 by now, a little more. Hell, I have some recollection of how old she might be. A funny little story on myself. Her father sold New Idea Farm Machinery, and he went over to Raymond Gold. He was talking to him about buying a spreader. And my uncle and I went over to Gold for some reason, and my son Tom, he was 4 or 5 years old then. He went over with us. And Johnny was there with his daughter, who was probably 10 or 12 years old then. And I know kid fashion, they went off playing. I got into the car, and my uncle started home. Just got over around the bend. He says, where's the kid? Occurred to me I'd forget to lift him there. That was about as bad as they tell about the old fellow lived up in Stetson Hollow here. I probably told you about him that he never could remember to get the groceries. He'd send him down the village, of course, back in those days it was common for women to stay at home and send the man to the store for the groceries. Groceries would come in bags that they wouldn't really want to lift anyway. It didn't come in 14-ounce boxes. And anyhow, she He lived way up, about as far as Warren Village as we are, or a little farther perhaps. So he went down, come back. He brought everything into the house and set it on the table. There's your daughter there. Don't think I forgot anything this time. Just where's mother?
No, you didn't tell me that one. There were a number of hollows. There was Stetson Hollow, sort of going back through Granville Woods, right?
Stetson Hollow, Martin Hollow, Bear Wallow.
What?
Bear Wallow.
Bear Wallow?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a bear there, or?
Well, I don't know. It's a swamp up there. Probably the bears. Bob could tell you about more about those things. That was more his. It was Martin Hollow.
And there must have been a Martin that lived there?
A fellow named Martin, probably. Stetson Hollow. South Hollow. The Cy Bagley Notch up there, too, between Stetson and South Hollow.
And did Cy Bagley live up there?
Yeah. Somebody was telling, I think it was Ellie Richardson, which was Ed Irish's grandfather. This old Cy Bagley apparently was... I was similar to Raymond Gold when he lived over here by himself. He had a little cabin up right up. There is a notch where you can travel through with a horse and buggy, probably, from Stetson Hollow to Grand Hollow, from Stetson Hollow to South Hollow. They call it Lincoln Gap now, but it's still South Hollow to me. And somebody tells about walking over through there and along about midnight, and there was old Cy Bagley sitting out there playing his fiddle. There is what they call the Cy Bagley Notch.
Now, is that over on Lincoln Mountain?
That's, yes, in fact, as you go up and go up on Lincoln Gap Road, it used to be a Four Corners there. You turn to the right and you go up over the hill toward the golf course. You turned to the left and you went down to Thayer Place, Thayer Mill. He had a mill down in there. Old Will Thayer, they used to tell that he had a whole city up there. If he wanted a little more storage space, he'd go and build himself a new building. He had a real city. And then you crossed the brook, went up over, and you can see a low spot in the ridge there where you went over and came out in Stetson Hollow.
Uh-huh. So they're all sort of the other side of 100, Stetson Hollow, Martin Hollow.
Yeah, they're all on the other side.
Is Martin Hollow again going up Lincoln Mountain?
No, you go up Granville Gull.
Where is it that I've always heard that the Mad River and the White River rise in Granville, well, up on the hill away.
As you go out there, you'll come to a place where that I remember it as being an open land. They set out pine trees. It's just before you get to the left turn that goes up to Granville on the over the hill to Granville. As you go out through Granville Gulf, or through there, you come to a place that it's a little old road over the hill to get to Granville. when the pulp company was there, they had their old Camp 17 there. That was Puddle Dock.
Uh-huh. And you can still go up that road?
Well, you come out of Granville. In fact, it's actually about as close as it is going down the gulf.
That's not Are you talking about Plankton Road?
You go down Plankton, you go about Plankton,
yeah.
And you come onto the main road.
Yes.
Then you go a little, probably a mile,
uh-huh.
And you there's another left turn that goes to Granville, or you can go straight through.
I guess I'm not gonna...
You go straight through, you can go Clithwood, I guess you can get Clithwood behind Rochester that way.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot the same as...
Actually, I do know that road, yes.
It's very much the same as the road here.
Yes.
But that used to be what they called Puddle Dock there, the old... The old timers.
And why Puddle Dock?
I think that was where they. Well, Plankton. That was another station where the International Paper had these pulp cutters, and they didn't have television. They had to make their own entertainment, and. Well, they had these different places where that they changed their loads. I think the old log hauler they used to draw them down with horses to the main road, and or whatever. Those were places where that they stopped and transferred. I don't think they floated any logs from there, but they.
So Plankton would be why Plankton. They plunked it down?
Well, Puddle Dog, that was a mud puddle down there. Plankton, I don't know. It seemed like a...
And then Codfish
Corner. Codfish Corner. Yeah, that's why they went down to get the codfish. Why they picked up their supplies for their logging camp.
That must have been the store then.
Yeah, that was the first place where they had a store.
And that was right as you go through Upper Granville.
It was Upper Granville, yeah. I think they put the logs into the river there.
I think so, too. I
don't know if history still has been recorded or not about the log drives.
I interviewed Elwin Shirley when he was alive. Mm-hmm. He'd been an assistant cookie on the log drives there and talks about them putting the logs in.
John Paul had a long story, and a lot of, in fact, some of his ancestors probably still...
John Paul?
John Paul, this is a rare. He had a fairly complete history of the log drives on the White River. I was always intrigued by the history of the White River, that branch. I forget which branch it is, from before, or the but the Peavine Railroad always intrigued me too.
Me too. Yeah. In fact, I interviewed a woman that was on it during the flood, and just got home.
Used to have the little old hand car. They called the Hummingbird. My father-in-law tells a story about the St. Jane LC Railroad. Morning, going down to the hospital from somewhere up in northern Vermont. She got on the railroad and she thought she had plenty of time to make it. And all things progressed fast as she'd figured on, and before they got to Burlington, the baby was delivered. And the conductor was complaining some why anybody would get onto a railroad car in that condition. So there wasn't when I got on here.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, boy. I was going to ask you...
Cousin? Goldie Taylor, anyway. I stopped in for just to inquire about something regarding history. And we got into a conversation. I had these clippings. It was back in the early 1900s, from there up to 1930. And she had a ball with them. They were referring to things that she had remembered, things that people that, well, the notes of marriages that she remembered when they were her friends. I had a funny thing too one time. There was an old bureau up here in the attic. And the drawer was lined with a newspaper. I pulled the newspaper up, looked at it, and you probably run across Leo Howes up in Moortown. If you haven't, you should.
She won't talk to me.
He won't?
Well, I called her. I got her Geneva.
Geneva, yeah.
And she won't have any part of it. So I didn't figure I could end run around her and call her husband.
The reason she wouldn't talk, I presume, is because of him. He hasn't left the place in 10 years. But his father was a very outgoing individual, and there was the account of his marriage.
I'll be darned.
So I took it down to him. He was in his 80s then. His wife had been gone for a good many years. I don't know if those clippings would do anything for your history or not. It'll take me a few minutes to look them up.
Well, I could. I know it. and went off into stuff that time-wise was,
yeah.
Which I didn't read. But
I, in fact, we were talking history, and I said to Kitch, you know, I can remember a lot of things that happened back. I don't ever intend to remember anything that's going to cause anybody pain or embarrassment. But she had been chewing at me a little bit, and she said, you know, I can remember going to a minstrel show once back in the early 30s when I was a kid. They had a fellow there who was a clairvoyant, claimed to be. Said, you know, there's a young fellow here in the audience who has lost the back seat of his Ford Patheon. Model A Ford, but it's actually a touring car, but Patheon is actually a two-seated soft top. Said he's lost the back seat of his car. Can't figure out if somebody stole it or what happened to it. Wait a minute, I can see that now. It's laying under a tree somewhere. Oh, I can see it all now. That's where he was parked last Saturday night. Clarence Hartshorn, her husband. However, I left shortly after that. Ha ha ha.